Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
I think the last few Sundays I was talking about that you are anointed. Y'all remember that? I am anointed. And so the Holy Spirit, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the scripture let us know that the Holy Spirit dwells within our heart. And so our heart is our soul, right? Mind, will, and emotions. And so that means that when I confess Jesus as Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that you are saved, right? So you're rescued. The Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. So a lot of times, and even as we were singing a song and we're saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. A lot of times what we're talking about before we're asking the Holy Spirit to move in this physical space, y'all probably know where I'm going with this. We're asking the Holy Spirit to move within us. Amen. Because God, by his Spirit, dwells within our heart. But it is possible that we can keep God. I know you can't keep God locked up, but just kind of, you can keep God locked up. Y'all following what I'm saying? Where God is not moving in other areas within our heart, where we're not allowing God to lead and guide us in our thoughts, lead and guide us in our desires, lead and guide us even in our emotions. And so the interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us and is leading us to worship God. So we actually have a personal resident of God, an usher, right? We have the Holy Spirit as an usher bringing us to the Father. Such a beautiful picture. Literally ushering us into the presence of God. One scripture says, but don't quench the Holy Spirit. But it is possible. Free will, our own will is so strong that the Holy Spirit can be trying to move us in a certain direction. I'm just going to talk about worshiping God. Move us to worship God. Do you know that we can be like, and we cannot go. We cannot go. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever experienced the Holy Spirit trying to move you to a place of, you know, just open up your heart to God, you know, and you're just kind of like, but I don't know about all that. And you feel it. And for some in here, it may not be familiar, so you lock it down and you don't even entertain it. And so what my hope and my prayer is that we allow God by his Spirit within us to usher us to where the Father wants us to be. Amen. And in church, so this safe environment here to worship or to, you know, pray and all of this, a safe environment. I hope you have a safe environment at home as well. But in here is where, and when I use the word practice, it's not like I'm practicing and pretending. It is practicing getting into God's presence. If you're not familiar with that, church is a good place to get familiar with it. So that when you are somewhere else and you need to do it, you know how that feels. Y'all with me? And so many other areas as well. God's wanting to use you to speak to someone, all of that. Church is a good, I'm talking about this place, church, right? The church is a good place to get uncomfortable. This is not the place to be comfortable. Can I say that, y'all? Church is not the place to be comfortable. It's the place to be uncomfortable. So you say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher man? That means if I'm dealing with something in my life and I'm wrestling with an area in my life that I'm struggling with letting it go. You can begin to let it go in church. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So be uncomfortable yielding yourself to God here. So when you're in environments that do not glorify God as its number one purpose, you already know how to do it. But don't leave out of here restricted. Church is not the place for you to come in restricted and leave restricted. You should leave here freer in God. So if you wanted to say hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, right? So hallelujah is not just this expression we used to hear people say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you're like, what's wrong with them? It's not just that. It's not just an emotional thing. Hallelujah literally means praise the Lord. So you can say hallelujah and it not be this emotional, deep thing that other people do. You can say hallelujah, or you can say praise the Lord, or you can say, some churches say God is good, and then people respond back with what? And then the person say all the time, you know, like that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, that sounds nice. You can say that. But if you can be free to say it in here, then you'll feel freer to say it out there. And if anybody in here looks at you crazy because you like express yourself to God in an unusual way, so what? I mean, I express myself in an unusual way. Y'all see how much I use my hands and all that kind of stuff? So if I care what people thought, I'd be right here all day. I'll be holding on to this thing right here. But, and that's just me. This is just the way that I am. So I'm not saying you have to be all, but I'm saying, come on. If you know that you feel within your heart where the Holy Spirit is at, you feel within your heart to just do something during praise and worship, do it. Why they not singing my song? What's your song? What's your song? And I hope that when you hear your song, you express your praise to God so that we don't fake it. Because some people, but the reason why I don't get involved, because they don't sing my songs. Well, when your song do come on 88.7, do you praise God? Or are you still restricting the Holy Spirit? Amen. God has called some of y'all to be his mouthpiece. God has called some of y'all to open up your mouth and say things that you feel in your heart that he's telling you to say. And it's in church that God is giving you space to exercise that gift. But if you come in church and you are quenching or saying, nope, I'm going to suppress it, then how are you going to be comfortable saying it out there? A small percentage of you, the Lord speaks to you and you sense it, but you have not yet gotten to the point where you know how to say it. And church is a good place for you to start expressing it. And God can just use your praise to him to express it. Please hear what I'm saying. So you can be singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And while you're singing that, the Holy Spirit is speaking in your ear something different or something in your heart. And while they're singing that part, you're opening up your mouth and saying some other type of words. And God is preparing your heart for when he wants to use you outside of church. I hope this is making sense. But if you don't ever worship, praise God, say anything, not even on the soil of church, it is going to be very difficult when you step on foreign soil and you feel the prompting of God to say something, but you're not used to saying it, not even in familiar soil, so you don't say it. And I'm not even going to say, I hope this makes sense. I know it's making sense to some of y'all. Because you feel the prompting of God at times speaking to you. And what God is sharing is that church is a really good environment for you to exercise your gift. Listen, it ain't like you come in here and just like, you know, like, Pastor, give me the microphone because I got something I gotta say. It's not that kind of stuff. No, it's not that. But through your worship, through your prayer, through classes, through fellowship, through groups, I hear the men at our men's group just open. Some men, I ain't never heard them say nothing in church. But we get to the men's group and they're talking and they're on the chat. And what they're doing is exercising their gift. So when they get on their job, they're not afraid to say something to somebody else. But if you're not comfortable with your fellow, do you know? I'm going to say this real low so y'all listening. Do you know that some Christians, some believers in Christ are more comfortable being open with non-believers than they are with believers? Y'all didn't know that. I just shared something with you. You didn't know. You do know it because you might be experiencing it. So let's be the real believers in Jesus Christ. Because I'm sure you probably think that there are some fake ones out there. Let's be the real ones for Christ. Amen. Let's represent God. And it's not just with a bumper sticker. And it's not just by wearing a cross. It's not by just having a tattoo to say Jesus. It's not just by that. But it's through my consistent lifestyle. And this church, I'm saying church, I'm not just talking about Purpose Church. I'm talking about when we gather as believers, whether it's in Starbucks, House of Coffee, Panera Bread, Art Room, wherever it is, somebody, when we gather as the called out ones, the church, God is able to start doing something within our heart so that when we go out to do the work that God has called us to do, in whatever way he's called you to do it, in your space, you are comfortable because you've been hanging out with your brothers and sisters in Christ and they're encouraging you. But if you never show up, if you never open up your mouth, if you never be real, it's hard to allow God to use you in an area where you can't even be real and honest with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe that God, and if some of y'all feel it, is pushing some of y'all to an uncomfortable space. It's okay. Amen? He's pushing some of y'all. But he's not going to pull you. But he will urge you on to do what it is that God has called you to do. Are y'all with me? Praise God. Amen. So we'll see how much of this we can get through. I knew it would be shorter due to several other things that we're talking about, but I'm all right with that. There's no rush going through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is where we were, because we're skipping a few chapters, or we're skipping a few verses, I should say, and to catch us up for today's sermon. But over the last week, we've been talking about, right, Luke 4:18. And so what has happened is, as you can see, Jesus was eventually rejected at Nazareth, where he was actually raised, right? And there's a whole sermon in that right there. Jesus heals a man with an unclean demon, takes place. Jesus heals many, including Simon Peter's mother-in-law. These are all the things that's taking place in those verses of scripture that you see there. Jesus preaches in the synagogue of Judea. Jesus calls the first disciples, who was Peter, James, and John. And then Jesus, as the young man mentioned up here, actually heals the leper. And so where we are now, we're looking at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And I'm going to try to take my time through this a little bit, and we'll get to where we get to, but there's some things that I wanted to share in this area. Verse 17 in the New King James Version. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And so I wanted to pull this up in, if you guys, y'all deep people in here, if you ever use Strong's Concordance or Strong's Lexicon, I wanted to bring it up to really break it down to make sure that we know what at least this verse of scripture is saying. So let me read it with the emphasis that's on it. One day, Jesus, so don't not to be confused of who was teaching, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. So if you guys can follow me with these words. Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting where Jesus was teaching. Seems straightforward, plain and simple. Then it says, people had come from Jerusalem and from every village of Galilee and Judea, and the, not just any power, and the power of the Lord was present with him, Jesus, to heal the sick. This is like so good. I'm trying not to get too excited myself because y'all just now joining me on this journey, right? The reason why this is important, and I'm going to go back to this verse, because we need to know who the power was available for healing. Going back to this verse, it said, now it happened, right? On a certain day, as I'm going to just put Jesus in here, Jesus was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. And then it says, who had come out of every town. So when you read that, it almost sounds as if we're still talking about the Pharisees and the teachers. So the Pharisees and the teachers came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And it sounds as if that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Them who? The Pharisees and the teachers. But this is the reason why we break it down. The healing was just not for the Pharisees and the teachers. It says people had come from Jerusalem and from every village of Galilee and Judea. And the power of the Lord was present, present for Jesus, for him to heal the sick. This is why it's important at times to take, and if you look at a lot of different translations of that scripture, it will constantly think, make you think that the healing was available for the Pharisees and the teachers only. But the reality is that the healing, which was healing for the sick, was readily available for everyone. Praise God. You know, we were talking about this area of spiritual gifts. And, you know, I kept saying that there are certain spiritual gifts that we have that God may use in our lives more often than not. But Jesus, who could operate in wherever God needed him, in this moment, there were two different things operating through him. Teaching, which his teaching was just not conversation. What he was doing was teaching so that they could learn. In other words, so that whoever could hear his teaching could be his, become his disciples, learned ones. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were not there to learn from Jesus. They were there to try to catch him. And that is the reason why the emphasis is on that second line. The teachers of the law were sitting there. And this is interesting. So sitting does not mean that I'm listening. I'm going to catch somebody right in this church service. And you're going to be like, why are you talking to me? People say that all the time. Why are you talking to me? You know, well, I might just be talking to you right now. Or you might be listening to it online. Just because you're sitting does not mean that you're learning. You've got to posture yourself a certain way to say that I am present to learn. And I'm not just present just to be present. Do you know that you can just be present just to be present? Do you know that we can just come? I'm going to bring it right here. We can just come to church just to come. And besides the people that's on camera or standing up and myself, everybody else in here is just sitting. But are you learning? One day Jesus was teaching. And that teaching means that he was hoping that the people would learn what it was that he was teaching so that in response they would follow him. But there were a group of people there that was not interested in following Jesus. They was interested in trapping Jesus. So, but they, please hear this, but they were in the midst of the anointed one who is Jesus, who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and I am anointed to do all these different things. They're right in the midst of the anointed one, but they are not there to hear what the anointed one has to say. They're not here to learn and follow. They're just there, man. And I pray this for someone that is either listening or you're present here today. Please don't just go to church, come to church, whatever it is. Don't just read your Bible just to sit. Some of us have our Bibles in our sitting area. And we have it sitting there like it's just a good book. And we get our cup of coffee and we get it and all that. And we're almost reading it the way that we used to read the newspaper. We're just reading it to get caught up on the events of the day. And God is saying, every time you read the Bible, I want you to learn something. Now, not that I just want you to learn how to say, y'all know Psalms 23 is my greatest example. Not that I just want you to learn how to say Psalms 23, but I want you to get it in you so much so that you begin to follow God more intimately based upon the scripture that you just read. It is always, always about learning so that we can follow God. Not just to sit. So guess what? When you go home, look at where your sitting area is. Is it too comfortable? Do you fall asleep every time you sit in that recliner? And if it is, change it. Change your environment so that your mind can say, this is not just my moment of sitting. This is my moment of learning. I'm leaning in to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me. Are y'all following what I'm saying? But here's the other part of this scripture. People had come from Jerusalem and every village of Galilee and Judea, and please see the emphasis of this, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. What type of sickness? Physical? Emotional? Mental? It doesn't say. So whatever healing, as long as it was regarding sickness, the power of the Lord was present with Jesus to heal. Now, the place where he is teaching is so crowded that people can't even get in the door. You mean to tell me, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to get there. You mean to tell me that none of them, can I use the word folks, none of them folks was sick? How is it that the presence of God can be available to us and we not get anything? Look, if I don't get healing, at least I'm learning. If I'm learning, I might get healing, right? Because it's leading me in a certain area. What you mean to tell me that I'm in the presence of God and I don't get anything? Is it because God didn't have anything available for me, or was I sitting rather than learning? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Man, I hope this is just like, I don't know. I just hope that it goes woo, like to you, whatever that means to you, like woo. Like, am I sitting or am I learning? Praise God. Let me look at another scripture, go a little bit further. If y'all read this story before, you know why. I'm trying to contain myself to not get too excited. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. Man. Whew. So people saw that they had a person who was paralyzed and they knew where to take him. And that becomes a question to us. How many people in our life are paralyzed? Do we know how to get them to Jesus? And I love it because they said they sought. This means that, let me just keep going. Read this next part. I'm going to skip some things. Verse 19. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling. Look at where they dropped him. Right into the midst before Jesus. Man. So these men realize that there is a man who is paralyzed. It does not tell us if he was physically paralyzed, mentally, spiritually. Doesn't let us know. We assume it, and it's okay. Listen, but what if he was all paralyzed? What if he was not only physically unable to move the way that he wanted to, but also in his mind, in his will, his emotions, he was also paralyzed. But also, what if spiritually he was motionless? And some of us, or some of our friends, are paralyzed. And you may say, I can move. But we can't move. We can't move. It means motionless, that there is a part of me that should be moving, but I can't. And it is very easy to look at that from a physical perspective, but we should take inventory, number one, of our own lives and say, or can the left side of me move spiritually, but the right side is paralyzed? Can some parts of my life like move and I'm good, but then there's other parts of my life where if you say to me, move, I can't because I'm paralyzed. And the question becomes, what got you stuck? Why are we motionless in certain areas of our life when Jesus is right in the midst? Listen, we can be sitting here, hearing the word, hearing the praise, hearing the prayers, and still be on lockdown in certain areas of our life. And God is saying that the healing that is available to heal the sick is available. Why are we not receiving it? Why would a person want to remain paralyzed in a portion of their life? Why would I not want to move in certain areas of my life? Why? Why? And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. When God says, my love is so available for you that I want to heal you in that area. I don't know what caused you to be motionless in your mind or in your thoughts or in your emotions. And even as a spiritual warrior for God, I don't know what is causing you to be motionless, paralyzed. But God is saying to some people, for some reason, you have become motionless in certain areas when it comes to your walk with me. You're not moving. Why aren't you moving in certain areas? What's going on? What is happening? But I thank God that there are people around us that will see our state and say, oh my gosh, I can't get them through the door. Look at all these people in here. Try the other door. Look at all these people. And do you know, I did a message years ago, said, don't let the crowd keep you from Jesus. Do you know that sometimes we will try to get to God, but there's all these people in the way. But I love how it said that they sought a way to get in. So that's like, that door's not opening. They were determined to get this man to Jesus. You say, well, Pastor Will, I don't have a circle like that. There's not people that are calling me and trying to get me into God's presence. Can we be the men for the man? Can we be the group for the individual? Can I, with the help of God, grab myself and bring myself to God? Until some other people are confident enough, because some people will look at us and are intimidated by us and know that we are paralyzed in certain areas and won't say anything to us. And you might be that person to say, I know people know that I'm struggling in certain areas, but they won't say anything to me. And that is a shame. And that's the reason why sometimes preaching is like this. Because if you catch me in the hallway, I'm not like this, am I, y'all? But when preaching happens, it's like, okay, everybody is going to hear what is being said. So listen, so if people are not coming to you and are not saying that they're concerned about your spiritual and your mental state in God, I am saying that I am concerned about your spiritual and your mental state. So guess what? Now there's no excuse. And you may say, but I'm not comfortable to approach someone and say I need help. But can you be the men to the man? Can you be the one to get yourself up and put yourself in front of God? Can you build your own altar and say, you know what? I know I'm busy. I know I'm tired. Some people are like, I just hate what's going on. But I am going to seek a way to get in. I am not going to give up. Can you say that to yourself? You ever say this? Don't nobody understand where I am. God does. And this very message is speaking to some of y'all saying, God is saying, I see you. And there are certain areas of your life that you're paralyzed in. But healing is available. But healing is available in my presence. So stop avoiding my presence. Stop avoiding God. Spend some time with him, but not just sitting, but learning. Are y'all with me? And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, don't let the crowd keep you from Jesus. They went up. I don't know who house this was, but they went up to the housetop. They removed some tiles. And I can only, the imagery behind this, like maybe they were good at houses, but I can imagine, I don't know where Jesus was standing at, but if they couldn't get in, maybe they thought Jesus was standing here, but he was there. So they let down the tile there and they said, oh man, he ain't there. So they went, well, maybe he over here. And they removed the tile. They're like, dang, he ain't there. And somebody said, well, can't we just let this man down and let the crowd? Can't we just let him down and depend upon the crowd to get him to Jesus? And somebody said, no. We have got to be the ones responsible for ensuring that when we let him down, that he will be let down right before Jesus. And some of us are saying this, but if I can just get you in there, other people will carry you to Jesus. And God is saying, no. For some of you, God is saying, it is your responsibility. Man, it's your responsibility to get them to Jesus. It's not, you're not responsible for everybody. But God has laid upon your heart some people. So don't just let them down anywhere. Find out where God is. You know where he is. You know where God is. You know how to get in God's presence. You know how to hear from God. Now that person who is paralyzed needs your help. And they found where he was. And they let him down. Think about how careful they had to be. Number one, this guy was on a bed. So they're, I don't know how high the roof was, but they're letting him down. Now here's my question. Why wasn't the guy kicking and screaming? Did he resist? Or did he also believe? We assume that it was solely on the faith of the men that got the man before Jesus. But the man had to be okay with it. And maybe you're the person here, your friends, your family, your church is trying to get you into the presence of God. And the question is, do you believe? You've got to be involved. If you keep trying to get off the bed while people are trying to get you in God's presence, it's not going to work. Listen, you have to be present. We can't just let down an empty bed and say, this represents Will. Jesus, can you heal Will? We need Will to be on the bed. We need Will to comply. And Will has to also believe that if you guys are going to go through all of that to get me right in front of Jesus, I'm believing that there's something for me. We have to be an active participant because many people preach this message and they preach solely on the faith of the men. But that man, he wasn't kicking and screaming as far as we know. So that means there had to be some faith. And that's the reason why Jesus says it, not in this one here, but he says it many times. Your faith has healed you. Final thing before we wrap up. And when Jesus saw their faith, did that include the man? Possibly. When Jesus, see, we all automatically think when Jesus saw their faith. But what if it was when Jesus saw their faith, the man and them? But the only one that Jesus needs to address is the one that has yielded himself for healing because he's paralyzed. But look at what Jesus says. He doesn't say, men, your sins are forgiven. He looks at the one that yielded himself to come on down. And he says, man, your sins are forgiven. And I want to stop here. We'll finish next week. But if he was paralyzed, why do my sins need to be forgiven? Jesus, why not, just like the young man said up here, you know, spit on the ground and rub some stuff on whatever area. Why not just speak the word to me being paralyzed, the area of my life that is motionless? Why don't you just speak to that? But did he speak to it? What was causing this man to be paralyzed? Is it something that this man did that he needed to be forgiven? I'm going to encourage you to read. Next week, we'll read the rest of it. But can y'all read ahead and see what else happens in this? But I wanted to stop at this point. Why didn't Jesus just say, man, be healed from being paralyzed? And then the man get up, pick up his bed, and go. Why would he say, man? And I'm going to say it my way. Man, your sins, whatever has had you bound, and the word forgiven means released. So I did something that possibly caused me now to be motionless. And Jesus speaks directly to the core. He doesn't just heal the body. He speaks directly to the core and says, you know what, man, whatever you did has been forgiven. And as you read the next verse, some people had an issue with that. Please do not remain bound because you're afraid of what people will think about the new you. Don't remain bound because you're afraid of what people will think about the new you. Amen. I feel so excited on the inside of me right now, within my soul. Amen. And I think the reason why I'm excited for us.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.